Welcome to this podcast on RHD non-invasive prenatal testing, or RHD NIPID, for pregnant women with a RHD negative blood group. If you're a GP, health professional, or midwife caring for women throughout their pregnancy, this is a targeted topic just for you. To find out how RHD NIPID fits within the pregnancy care pathway, its associated eligibility and importance. Joined by Tani Paxton, midwifery advisor at the Australian College of Midwives, and Dr. Anya Samarawickrama, a general practitioner, this podcast has been made possible by a Quality Use of Pathology program grant from the Australian Government Department of Health.
We are meeting on beautiful Darug country here today in what is called Buramatta or Parramatta. We are privileged to work and serve the community in this part of the world. And I enjoyed a beautiful cycle along the Parramatta River this morning on beautiful Darug country. So this is where we recorded the podcast.
Fantastic. Yeah. And it's great to acknowledge the country that we're on and the unique birthing practices of First Nations women for time immemorium. And you can just imagine looking out across the river where maybe babies were born for forever. Oh, I'm Tani Paxton. I am a mother of four girls and my husband and I both have Rh negative blood. Professionally, I am a midwifery advisor with the Australian College of Midwives. I'm also an endorsed midwife. In my current role, I guide and advise our wonderful members and stakeholders on all topics related to midwifery. I am so lucky today to be joined in the studio with my colleague Anya, who sits alongside me on the Australia and New Zealand Society of Blood Transfusion Project Steering Committee with other experts from different and very interesting backgrounds. Anya, today we'll be talking about an innovative blood test for pregnant women, but firstly, let's talk about you.
Thank you, Tani. It is a privilege to join you and contribute to this educational podcast about non-invasive determination of rhesus status. My name is Anya. I am a GP in clinical practice in Western Sydney. I also hold several non-clinical roles in representation and advocacy on behalf of general practitioners. I was lucky to be the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners representative to the steering committee that is seeking to implement this new blood test in pregnancy. So it's a privilege to be here.
That's great. It's been a really interesting ride the past 18 months being on this committee together alongside our colleagues who do come from all other walks of life. And it's just been a great experience to see an idea get to the place where we can actually develop education resources for midwives and GPs. Really fantastic, because it is going to improve the lives of so many women and babies. So Anya, maybe we can talk a little bit about the background of the test itself.
Thank you. So at the moment when we provide antenatal care to our patients, we screen universally for maternal rhesus status and then offer universal prophylaxis with anti-D during pregnancy. But there is actually a new blood test, which is actually an old blood test elsewhere in the world. But the new blood test, which is the non-invasive determination of rhesus status, that actually allows clinicians to check the rhesus status of the baby before we decide whether or not we even need to administer anti-D. This will allow us to rationalise our use of anti-D, which is a really scarce resource. This blood test has been implemented already in multiple other countries, and the Quality Use of Pathology program in Australia provided funds to the Australian New Zealand Society for Blood Transfusion to do the scoping work and implementation work to bring that to Australia. So the project lead, Professor David Roxbury, has visited numerous countries which have already implemented this blood test and looked at the different ways in which they've been implemented, both on the pathology side as well as the clinician side. And we like to think has brought some great wisdom back to Australia, and we've collaborated between multiple colleges and professions to make a working plan about how this can be rolled out here.
It's fantastic. And also to note that the whole committee's been really well supported by Lifeblood.
Oh, yes.
So that's fantastic, and that's what's bringing us here today. And so I think we also need to give thanks to behind the scenes, because Lifeblood does so much good
amazing
work.
Amazing, yeah.
So you're really thankful to them. Yeah, so as Anya was saying, the Rh non-invasive prenatal test is a simple blood test taken from the woman that can be used to determine Rh blood groupings of the baby and determine whether the woman requires Rh immunoglobulin to prevent her from developing anti-D antibodies and hemolytic disease of the fetus and the newborn. Rh non-invasive prenatal test is separate from other non-invasive prenatal testing that is carried out in pregnancy, typically used for genetic screenings, as this test can only be used to determine the blood status of the baby. So yeah, we've just got to be really careful about how we talk about the NIPT testing, because in a lot of health practitioners' lingo, NIPT specifically relates to a genetic screening for a baby. So that's not what we're talking about. It's very much talking about the blood grouping negative status of the baby. So as Anya was saying, currently we are offering prophylaxis anti-D to all negative blood type women. And what's really interesting is that we don't have an alternative there. So even when a woman has a negative blood type and the partner is determined to be negative blood type, the clinical preference is still for the woman to have anti-D. So what is proposed? RHD immunoglobulin is to be given only to the women carrying an RHD positive baby or when the blood group of the baby is unknown. Currently in Australia, there's approximately 45,000 or 37% of pregnant women who are RHD negative, and they receive the RHD immunoglobulin prophylactically each year. Of these, approximately two-thirds are carrying an RHD positive baby. The other third, or 16,000 women, will be carrying an RHD negative baby and do not require RHD immunoglobulin, and that would benefit from the RHD non-invasive prenatal test. By determining the RHD blood group of the baby, only those predicted to be carrying an RHD positive fetus or baby would then be required the RHD immunoglobulin. This would mean a significant reduction in the number of women who receive this blood product unnecessarily, avoiding exposure to the risks associated with blood products and reducing the demand on supply in Australia. So it's really a sustainability issue as well, isn't it, Anya?
Yeah, agreed. Yep.
And on that point, we haven't explored the environmental sustainability side of it. I think we did have a very brief conversation about it, and that's an area of interest for me. However, definitely put that on the cards for future research. But as you can imagine, there's less blood testing of baby, there's less physical resources, and then human resources in actually checking a baby's blood type as well. So that's a really big factor to consider.
And I think it also speaks to the principle of to first do no harm.
Absolutely.
To, you know, measure thrice and, you know, do something. It's certainly, you know, moving towards reduction in overtreatment and reduction in waste of resources together. I think this would provide a safer and also less intervention-heavy approach for the population.
Oh, absolutely. And it's such a time saver. So, but on that point about, you know, sustainability and reducing time and human resources, I did work as a private practicing midwife. And working within the community with women, and when a baby was born to a woman who had a negative blood type, we would often rush down to a pathology lab with a cord blood sample in the middle of the night, because babies just would like to be born at any time, please, thank you. And then, you know, we're putting that constraints back onto pathology to get the results quite quickly, and then actually seeking out the anti-D to give to mum postnatally and quite quickly. So it would be really great to save that time as well. And I'm sure the private practicing midwives around Australia would be quite grateful, as well as those in pathology labs doing the incredible work that they do. So our next talking point is really about how is RHD immunoglobulin made and sourced? So we do have a case study here, if you're happy for me to keep going.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, one thing for me as a GP is that I actually had no idea about how difficult it is to not only seek donors, but also the burden on a very, very small pool of altruistic donors who we have to thank for anti-D.
Yeah, how do you even thank them? I mean, you know, from what we've found out recently is there's only a very small pool, around about 150 donors in Australia. Just incredible.
So anything we can do to make sure that their altruistic donation is used wisely and to the best possible betterment of maternal and fetal health is super important.
And again, as you your point that you made earlier, do no harm. So that's also to our donors. So 2023 Australian College of Midwives Conference, we had a midwife attend who presented at our national conference, who was an anti-D donor, so one of this 150 in Australia. And she spoke about the process that she had to go through to donate her plasma, which was converted into anti-D. And it was quite incredible. It was quite amazing to listen to how committed she was and how she understood the risks involved. However, they were minimal, but still it was really quite a lifelong commitment. And really she put it down to the fact that she knew that she had the capability to help women and babies right across Australia. So I guess we should call to action or call to community service here while we're actually able to do this and broadcast out to whoever's listening that anybody that's interested in becoming a donor of anti-D, take yourself down to Red Cross or book in a blood donation appointment, especially for plasma. It's probably easiest to find out more by just booking in and going to donate plasma, even if it's a first time. It's quite a pleasant experience, really. I've done that and received snacks on the other side, so we like that. There's a local Red Cross, and if there's not, they often come into town with the big bus, so you can book in. But yeah, taking local donation and then ask to be screened for being able to become an anti-D donor. So we might move on. So this is a good part about communication and transfer of care. What happens when you're giving results to women? Do you want to talk on that?
Yes, I might start with where, as a GP, we might start to request this test. So we don't know exactly who is going to be the provider yet, but the test can be used 12 weeks of pregnancy onwards. And big important thing to notice is that this test is different from other forms of non-invasive fetal determination. So NIPT, that is for chromosomal screening, is different from this particular NIPT. This is about the non-invasive determination of the fetus's rhesus status. So we would typically order this as part of our first trimester care. So a woman may come in with a newly positive pregnancy test, and at that point there would be no change to additional testing that is offered. But on the subsequent tests, probably around the time we are discussing other forms of screening and options, we would be offering this at that point. What is really important in Australia is that often there are many types of maternity providers in Australia. Where I work, the typical scenario is that GPs will often look after the patient until about 16 weeks of pregnancy. And around that time, that woman will then move into a definitive care provider, most commonly in this district at our public hospital. But there are other options as well, such as midwifery group practice, private midwifery care, private obstetric care. Now, why this is important is that Australia is unique internationally in that we don't have a single provider of antenatal care throughout the whole pregnancy. We have this GP care in the first trimester. Unfortunately, our systems, our digital integration in Australia doesn't always speak to one another. So I think when
you're talking about my health record,
not specifically, but we have very limited digital infrastructure that allows us to be confident that results are being transferred between different providers. So I think we have to really look at what are the systems that are going to be in place around making sure that the tests that we order are then available to other clinicians. So in my district, we have digital information systems that don't speak to one another. And we also have a little bit of poor integration with my health record at this stage. So that will mean that realistically over the coming year, I will be providing an emailed copy of those results to the patient. Your solution may be different. In a perfect world, I'm very hopeful that this kind of a result will interface automatically to some sort of other record, whether it be my health record or whether it be a shared clinical like documentation system. Unfortunately, we don't have that at the moment, but I think in implementing this safely, being able to make sure that the woman understands the result, the woman is the custodian of a copy of those results, as well as doing our best to provide additional copies into the available digital or paper systems, depending on where you are, is really key for safety and continuity.
Yeah, absolutely. And the burden of the woman actually having to carry her tests with her is so archaic, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, the handheld record is still really used, especially in more rural and remote regions. However, it shouldn't really be that way anymore. What we need to be doing is, as you were saying, have all of these digital records talking to each other ideally, but it is something to be mindful of, especially when you have a woman in your care and perhaps she is, you know, into the second trimester of her pregnancy and maybe moving, especially interstate, it's really important to just kind of get all those ducks in a row.
Agreed, yeah.
And just be able to assist her on her journey as far as, you know, you've got to do your due diligence with your documentation and remember that any tests that you order, they are your responsibility to follow up and interpret, and care will continue until there is a proper handover of care.
Yeah, and I think that really speaks to the importance of closing the loop on the results of this investigation. So I see two things that GPs really need to look out for. So the first is when I receive the result in my practice, it is the fetus's rhesus status, but it is probably going to come into the maternal file. So we need to be really careful in how we label that and to make sure that we've got the right visual and other cues to make sure that these are not mixed up. Second is that the subsequent care of the pregnancy may be done by me if I were to be providing GP shared care in my district, but it may be provided through another model of care. So you may be in the scenario where you have requested the non-invasive determination of rhesus status. The mother-baby pair may have discordant rhesus status and then benefit from prophylaxis, but you as a GP may not be the person to administer. What I would really ask is that each district needs to look into having a really robust system for closing that loop of treatment where it is needed, so that either we have a GP notification or a system for GPs to access appropriate treatment or some form of communication to for us to ensure that not only is the result shared, but the subsequent actions taken to that result also shared. And I totally acknowledge that in Australia, we're really in some early days around like really robust digital infrastructure. But whatever is the best solution in your district with your relationships, then please make best use of that, I think.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And also once baby is born and enters the community, you know, mother and baby will be potentially cared for at home. We're talking about midwifery group practice, private practice.
Once child and maternal health.
Maternal nurse. Child health, exactly. And then, you know, in an ideal world, the woman and the baby come back into your care and continue on with their GP for the rest of their life. So it is closing certain aspects of care so that pathway to continue on and have a healthy life ongoing is complete.
And I will mention that the steering committee for this project has had a piece of advocacy around ensuring that this result should ideally be available in my health record and immediately available to the user or to the patient. We are yet to have confirmation of that, but please do check whether that is an option within your area, given how many different care providers are going to look after the mother-baby pair, both during pregnancy and first few weeks to months of life.
And the committee has been advocating for endorsed midwives to be able to order this test via the MBS. So that's some really good news as well. And your another point that the committee discussed, and we'd like to probably cover a little bit about today, is what are some of the issues that may arise with the results of this test?
Yeah, great question, because we have had a plethora of new tests to request during the first trimester. So there's a lot of learning over the last, I think, 5 to 10 years and a lot of change in this space. But anyway, about the fetal rhesus determination, the ANZ SPT has created a bedside assistance tool, which is a website, and I'll put the link in the show notes about how clinicians can access that. It is both a module that you as a clinician or care provider can use to learn about the RHD non-invasive, the way of testing babies for their RHD status, but also it has a number of flowcharts that you can use during the consultation. I know for me, it's going to be the first year where I'm going to be getting the result out, checking the maternal result, checking the fetal result, checking the historical antibody results, checking the new antibody results, and I will need a bedside tool to keep this all clear in my head. So the online tool is linked into the show notes and it has a number of pathways that you can use. And I guess broadly speaking, you may have a result where I guess you'd start with the maternal result. So the learning tool splits it into the result you get from the mother. So if the mother is RHD positive, then they do not require the RHD NIPT or non-invasive RHD determination test. And then we would continue routine care, which is to repeat the antibody screen in the second trimester. Then you may get a result of an RHD negative woman who's got no preformed antibodies, in which case you would then offer the new non-invasive determination of fetal rhesus status to them. In terms of the results that I would find really tricky, and these are the results where I would seek additional expertise about, is where there is the presence of clinically significant antibodies already, or in the cases where there is already a history of hemolytic disease of the fetus and newborn. And in addition to that, in the difficult basket is also the results where you may get a weak or partial D. So both of those scenarios would definitely require collaboration with our specialist colleagues. And if you receive that, you can learn a bit about what that means as you proceed to assist the woman with her care through the online decision support tool and online resources developed by the ANZSBT. So they're very easy to access and you can kind of choose your pathway based on the results that you get. So really strong advocacy for that resource to assist with us GPs learning about how to interpret the new blood test.
Yeah, and same goes for midwives. So we always follow a pathway of consultation and referral. However, it's not to say that there would be any referral, but however, inconclusive results definitely warrant a consultation. So there's some wonderful pathologists on staff at local facilities. And we were talking a little bit further about the specialists who work within maternal fetal specialty areas. So they're always great to try and find access to get a little bit more understanding of what's happening with a woman and her baby when a result is inconclusive. We're just really, really excited about the work that's happened over the last 18 months to get us to this point and to eventually have a fantastic education module that'll be hosted by the Australian College of Midwives that will be accessible to all members. And it's looking fantastic. We've had a run through last week, so hopefully that'll be online around the same time that this podcast launches. So please keep an eye out for an education module around the launch of the protocol for this test.
I might also just jump backwards the fetal results as well. So on the website, you can filter by the kind of maternal pathway, but you can also look at, you know, what would be a safe approach to the results that you might receive. So in the presence of a fetal RHD negative result, then there's a section about what you would do with that. So basically that prophylaxis is not recommended, but cord blood testing would be. So you can kind of go through what you would do with that. If you get the result that the fetus has an RHD positive status, you can go through what would be the care, which is on there. There's lots of information as well about inconclusive testing and also when things are not reported because the specimen, you know, may not have met requirements. So there's a range of results that you will get. I guess part of the reason I say that is that you're not just going to get a positive and negative result. There's this kind of other basket of things to seek collaboration and advice about.
So that's a great point. It's so important for midwives and GPs to have a really thorough understanding of this test and the outcome of the results. And the reason being is because in your profession, you will be translating the reasoning behind this test and the outcomes to the women in your care. So your understanding needs to be thorough so that you can actually talk to women about it and help with their education and understanding as well, especially when it comes to the point of offering the test and gaining their consent. So informed consent is always important, and it's also a really important point to be very clear with interpreters and consumer resources around this as well. So however that's going to look for you within your community.
And just in addition to clinician resources, the ANZSBT RHD NIPHET website has a consumer portal which has information about the rationale for the blood test, the implications of having it, how the results would be treated, with visual and written information. We'll also put the link to that particular portal. I mean, it can be accessed by the other website, but we'll put a link to the consumer portal, which is something that you can share with patients.
And Anya, earlier you were talking about how the test has been a standard in many European countries for over a decade. So we'll talk a little bit about the accuracy and the safety of the test. The accuracy is proven. It's been continuing for this amount of time, and it's really important to understand the safety behind the test as well. So we can talk a little bit about that.
I mean, I feel pretty confident in terms of its implementation because it's had such a great track record in other highly developed sort of maternity care systems. So this is not the world's first implementation of RHD, non-invasive determination of fetal rhesus status. It has a great track record.
Not even the first in the Southern Hemisphere because New Zealand are already using
goodness.
It, as far as I know.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. Okay. Well, we'll fact check that, but that's amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, maybe the message is just around reliability and validity is that this test already has a great track record for now close to 10 years in other medical systems across the world. So we're really excited to have this roll out in Australia and offer this to our women here.
That's great. And I guess, you know, in summary, we're looking at the take homes are that all RHD negative women should be offered RHD non-invasive prenatal testing between 12 to 26 weeks of pregnancy if there's no known anti-D antibodies, where the fetal RHD blood group is predicted to be RHD positive or unknown, and the woman is recommended RHD immunoglobulin.
Yeah, I think that's a great summary. So from the GP point of view, the way I think about it is that in addition to the wide range of diagnostic and screening tests that we do offer in the early part of pregnancy, we would now also be able to offer an additional test to women who are RHD negative to clarify whether or not their baby is RHD negative as well or is discordant with their own blood group. We would be offering this test between 12 and 26 weeks of pregnancy and then following up that result with our local care pathways to ensure it's appropriately actioned.
I just thought of another point. Babies should have all their cord blood. So when we have to take cord blood from babies, we're denying them really of that oxygen-rich source. So
look, my local hospital, my understanding is that they have routine practice to have delayed cord clamping, and it's a really strong maternal preference as well, I find, in our community at least.
So basically another benefit of this for midwives to understand is this is really beneficial to the practice of delayed cord clamping or, you know, not clamping, because babies will receive all of their beautiful umbilical blood that they deserve to keep in their bodies and stay oxygenated if it's not necessary to take their cord blood. So I think that's also a really fantastic thing to think about. So we understand that this is a non-invasive prenatal test for women who have RHD negative blood types, and it will soon be available in Australia. Very exciting. It's been so nice to speak with you today, Anya.
Oh, thank you so much. Been a privilege to work with you on this implementation and bring this blood test to Australian women, and a privilege to meet you and gain from your professional expertise. And thank you so much.
Oh, right back at you. Look, I think this has been an absolute joy. And the fact that we can get this messaging out to doctors and midwives across the country is really, really important work. And yeah, it's been so lovely to meet with you in person today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you to both Tani and Anya. As RHD NIPT testing becomes more widely available, midwives and general practitioners play an integral role in the successful implementation of RHD NIPT as part of routine antenatal care for RHD negative women. It's crucial that health professionals have a good understanding of the test and associated management to ensure safe and effective care. An interactive web tool for clinicians and consumers for RHD NIPT is now available at rhdnipt.anzsbt.org.au.